Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. The consultation has just opened, asking for your help in creating the St Albans District Local Plan for 2020 to 2036. Now, the local plan will set out St Albans District Council's planning policy up until 2036. And if it all sounds a bit familiar, this isn't the first time that we've been consulted on the draft local plan. Unfortunately, the last draft local plan was rejected by the government inspector and the council was asked to try again, this time with more houses. They've now done this and we're being asked what we think. Where should buildings be located? What sort of homes do we need? How about businesses? How about schools? How about green spaces? Councillor Mary Maynard, St Albans District Council's planning portfolio, joined me to explain more. Mary, thank you very much indeed for joining me. Now, the government has told St Albans that we have to build 14,608 new houses before 2036. Now, you've put in the local plan, you've put some options together about where these houses will go. Where are these places?
Right. First, what we have done is we have taken work that was in the former strategic local plan, and that work was based on an independent Greenbelt review that looked around the district and identified where the least worst options were in terms of building on the Greenbelt. The question then is, why are we building on the Greenbelt?
Yeah.
We intend to put, and we know this was in the former plan, we will run this forward, we've already agreed it with councillors. We intend to identify 5,000 houses to be built within existing settlements.
Right.
Those houses will be built in pretty much all of our brown belt.
Right.
We don't have a great deal of brown belt. We will be building on it.
Right. So you're making the most of the urban sites.
We're making all the urban sites will be built on. And that, when we add that up, that comes to about 5,000.
Right. So that leaves about another 10,000, doesn't it?
Yeah, it leaves about 9,500 to go. Now, of that 9,500, the strategic local plan identified four major sites where we could put something like 3,500.
Right.
Yeah. There was a further four sites where the least harm was done to the green belt, which gave you another 3,000, so that's 6,500.
Yep.
That still leaves us with a 3,000 gap. What we are doing over the next 6 weeks is a call for sites, and we're saying to any landowner in the district, if you want to put forward an application for building in your area, put it forward to us.
Right.
All the people who've already put them forward, we're asking them to resubmit their applications for building and just put forward proposals to us. What would they do? And to make up that gap, we're looking at building on around the district, and we will assess the land that's put forward on the basis of suitability within the Greenbelt.
Right.
We will assess it on the basis of contribution to infrastructure. How easy would it be to build it there?
Right.
How easy would it be to put the necessary infrastructure in to support those houses?
Right.
And third, what community benefit will those homes bring?
Right. So when you're talking about infrastructure here, obviously you're talking about roads, but also things like schools, parks, doctor's surgeries, this kind of thing.
Yeah, kids' playgrounds, everything like that.
Right.
It all comes in. Even social centres.
Yeah.
So all of those are really important. You cannot just build homes.
No,
without.
Indeed.
One of the things that I've been saying to my colleagues is that these houses represent an increase of 25% on existing houses.
Yes.
It is the equivalent of a town the size of Harpenden again.
Yes. Yes. You're right. It is an enormous enormous increase in population, isn't it?
It's a big increase in population. It's a big increase in the built area. And what we have to do is to mitigate and to minimise the impact on Greenbelt, but also make sure that anything that goes in is suitable for our needs as a community and has the necessary infrastructure there to support it.
OK. Now, there is some talk about building up rather than out. Is that an option, or are we going to have to do that as well? And we're talking about going up, I'm talking about building sort of tower blocks and that sort of thing.
Currently, we're talking about medium development, medium density development. Yeah, we're not talking about high density
right.
in terms of tower blocks. I have to say that whenever anybody mentions a tower block to me, I ask them, it's often people who are concerned about specific developments. And when I ask them, would they like a tower block in their area?
Yes.
Strangely enough, they always think it should be built in someone else's.
Right, yes.
So I think tower blocks are actually not that popular.
It has to be said, they have presented certain problems recently, haven't they? So
they have.
We can see that that might not be the thing.
And it's not actually in keeping with our district and with our typical mode of building.
No.
And
although,
the
I mean, there are
live,
there
yeah.
are some taller buildings, you know, the ziggurat and places like this, you know, that actually have become sort of much loved buildings in some way. So
yes. Well, when things are there, people often grow to love them.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So another choice is garden villages. Where might something like this happen?
Garden villages. In essence, the original SLP had what was a garden village in the Hemel Hempstead, south of Hemel Hempstead,
yeah.
or rather east of Hemel Hempstead. That is the sort of thing we'd think about. When we add up all our numbers, we're still 3,000 homes short.
Yeah.
And that is something we could think about a garden village in.
Right.
But where it would be, we cannot mandate where building is. We have to respond to landowners bringing forward land.
No, but you can sort of suggest locations that you would be open to the idea of development.
We're open to the idea of development anywhere.
Right. It's come to that stage, is it?
Well, it's not come to that stage. We want people to put forward as many proposals as possible and we'll assess them and pick the best. Or
right.
the community.
Okay. Now, obviously, one of the reasons for building all these houses is there's a lot of people in St Thomas looking for houses who can't find them, can't afford them. Will there be provision to ensure that these new houses are affordable and that there's plenty of social housing?
Right. The original SLP had a target of 40% for affordable housing, and and our indications are that councillors would want that to continue into this local plan. So 40% of the houses have to be truly affordable.
Right.
A further, that includes 10%, and that's 10% of the total,
yes.
needs to be social housing. Now, we have a massive issue. We have two things, two big problems in this district, and it just reflects the problems across the country as a whole. The first is a lack of social housing. We have 1,000 people on our list for social houses,
yeah.
1,000 families. And those families are not necessarily homeless, but they almost certainly are living in houses where they are seriously overcrowded and they have to move.
Yeah.
And we cannot go on like this. This is the 21st century and we shouldn't have Cathy come home levels of...
Indeed, particularly in somewhere as affluent as St Thomas. Yeah. I mean, can we ensure that the new houses go to local people like this rather than to people who fancy, you know, moving out to the suburbs, you know, who now live in London?
We can, and we do that in two ways. One is we are going to make rules about the sorts of houses that are going to be built. And one thing we want is terrace three-bedroom houses without the capability of turning them into five-bedroom mansions.
Yep.
We want smaller family homes that people can bring their kids up in and can afford to live in.
Yes.
And that affordability is not just for the first family that moves in.
Yep.
It's for the successive families that are going to live there.
Well, that's another question actually I was wondering about. I mean, one of the things that makes a house more affordable is things like having it very well insulated, very energy efficient,
yes.
Perhaps having renewables already installed. Can you make measures to ensure that this is the case, that the houses are environmentally sustainable and therefore cheaper to live in?
We're going to do that in all sorts of ways. If you look at what we're doing at the moment with our social housing stock, we've replaced windows, we've replaced boilers, we've replaced doors, we've replaced roofs.
Yep.
And we're moving to make them as energy efficient as possible. And that's the existing social housing stock.
Yep.
Our policies on in terms of all the housing that will be built, but particularly our social and affordable housing, will be very energy efficient. And you know, we want a light touch on the environment. We want sustainable housing.
Right.
And that extends to a kind of town planning approach. We want to have a modal shift in transport. We want people to walk and cycle more.
Right.
We want schools near where people live so yes. Kids can walk to them.
Yep.
We want cycle paths put in these new communities so people can cycle to the shops, cycle to the schools,
right.
cycle even to work within their community.
And Mary, where will the money for all this infrastructure come from?
This is the dilemma of building. If you densify, densification means small numbers of houses. That does not attract a large amount of funds from developers. You get the funds from developers if you're building kind of larger communities.
Right.
So if you have, say, 500 houses in Greenbelt, that the developer would build a school.
Right.
If you have 1,000 or 2,000 houses, they'd build a secondary school and a primary school. They may put in a social centre. They'd certainly put in green areas.
So yeah. there's no possibility of public money being used to fund these, after all, will be public facilities. That we are reliant on the developers to build them.
We will, as part of getting permission
right.
to build them, they will be mandated
right.
to provide these facilities. And it won't just be the built facility, it will also be roads
yeah.
and money to both county and the other levels of government.
Yep.
To put in place the extra facilities that are needed to support that increase.
Okay. Now, you mentioned roads there. Obviously, with a lot of people, transport is going to be an issue. And one of the reasons why St Thomas is so popular is that it's a relatively quick commute down into London. Trains are already busy. Will there be more trains?
One of the reasons we're working very closely with our neighbours, both in Bedfordshire and in Hartsmere, going into London, is because of the impact of the development we're all doing
yes.
on the train network. If you look at Bedfordshire, they are building large villages along the trade line.
Yes.
And there's going to be tens of thousands more people.
There's still just the one train line, isn't there?
And there's just one train line. If you look at Hearts have similar building targets.
Yeah.
It's Hartsmere have similar building targets to us. A lot of their people go on that one train line.
Yes.
We are talking with our MPs and saying that they have to make this case centrally to the railway regulators and to the railways themselves, that they are going to have to look very carefully at their future loadings and their operational capability to deal with this uplift.
Okay, so this
and is... remember, this is to 2036, so there is time.
Yeah. Although it does take a while for things
time.
Like rail infrastructure.
Yeah.
Talking about rail infrastructure, the Park Street Rail Freight Depot, I see on the back of your leaflet that you sent out, is listed as employment land.
Yes.
Is that a done deal now?
This was put in the original SLP as employment land. That land actually belongs to the county. A lot of it belongs to the county council. The county council has put forward that land as land for housing in our SHMA in July. We're waiting to see if they put it forward in our current call for sites as land for development.
Right. Okay.
So we will take a view when we have the information.
Okay. So nothing decided definitely.
But nothing has been decided on any of these sites, and it will not be decided until all the sites are in.
Okay.
And it will then be decided in an open committee.
Okay. So which brings me to my final point. You're going to, great measures to encourage as many of us as possible to look at the plan and respond to your consultation. You've got an exhibition which will be travelling around the district, and you've sent out a questionnaire to 60,000 households around the district. Realistically, what difference can we make?
You will make a phenomenal difference to what we do. This is a democratic process, and we want people to give us their view so that we can build it into our decision making.
Okay.
And that view could be, for example, you mentioned high rise flats.
Yeah.
They may say, no, we don't want to build on the Greenbelt. We want you to densify everywhere.
Yep.
It may be that they say we want limited growth in Greenbelt, but please protect our vulnerable green spaces. We'd
yeah.
do that anyway, but that would then very, very
yes.
much be part of our looking forward.
Yeah.
One of the things we're asking is, do you think that we should be making provision for younger people? Should we be making provision for affordable houses? Should we be making provision for social houses? That will give us the democratic mandate we need to absolutely insist that we get these social housing and affordable houses in place.
So it sounds
very much will influence what we do.
So it sounds like actually we need to make sure that you've got people from across the social scale, young people, older people, less well-off people, well-off people, all of them responding so you get a good broad view.
And we're particularly interested in the past. Where we've had a big gap is people under 40.
Okay.
And they're the people this is building for their generation, and we need to have their views. So finally, I would just say, please fill it in online, fill the form in that comes to your home, give us your views so that we can plan for your future.
Councillor Maynard, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Councillor Maria Maynard. Now, the consultation is open until the 21st of February. And as Mary said, you can find all the details on the St Albans District Council website, or you can use the pamphlet that came through the door. Now, I'll make sure I pop all the relevant links onto the environment page of the Radio Verulam website so you can start your search there. Another thing that you might want to do this week is register your event for Sustainable St Albans Week. You've got until Monday. Again, you need to go to the Sustainable St Albans Week website where you can make your registration. All groups are welcome. Doesn't matter if you're from St Albans or one of the villages or Harpenden, that's great too. And if you're not quite sure what kind of event you could do, there's some great ideas on the website too. So really nice and easy, but you've got to do that by Monday. We always like to hear from you. You can tweet us at rv_environment, email us at amanda@radioverulam.com. I'll be back at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.